The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app and sign up with code WMVP for participating offers. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Use promo code WMVP today.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, across from the historic Chicago Theater, you are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Feel like something where, like, all of a sudden the Packers and Rodgers, like, hash it out and the Jets are just left with their dick in their hand.
I don't think so. Not this time. I really don't.
I will say, if they did, I don't think anyone on the Packers side would care. They'd forgive him in two, like, all right, we got you back. Right. It would shock me if it fell through. I did text him. I said, welcome to the Thunderdome. Like, you're not playing the Bears 40 times a year. And he did reply back, I will miss the Bears. So, I mean, he's seen.
I just want him gone. Out. I've offered to move him personally. I will rent a U-Haul. I will move him. I'll have my apartment.
Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right, good stuff with the Cat Portnoy and KFC. Barstool Big Cat with us every Tuesday. It's been a while since we've talked to him on Tuesday since we've had spring trading, but I thought it was very on brand with Carmen in for Waddle today to keep it this way. And Big Cat brought to you by RJ Curcio and the Curcio Law Offices. If you need a personal injury attorney, give RJ a call, 312-321-1111. And also by Stella Blue Coffee. You've reviewed Stella Blue Coffee.
It's so good. I'm not, like, blowing smoke.
You're blowing something.
He's a coffee connoisseur. I shouldn't be surprised, but it is, like, it's legit awesome coffee.
Can get yours at StellaBlueCoffee.com, and a portion of the proceeds goes to Paws Chicago.
That's the other great part about it.
Saving dogs.
You're giving a little back.
And
dude,
if you don't buy it, like, he accuses me, you hate dogs. Well, you're killing dogs,
he's right?
He's
kind of right.
That's what he says.
I don't know why you haven't purchased your Stella Blue. I'm a little surprised and disappointed.
Big Cat, what's going on?
Well, I mean, Paws Chicago might be getting like $2 this year after my March Madness first weekend, but they'll still get something. They'll get something.
Have you?
Check's not going to be as big.
You gained all the weight and you lost all the money. That's what happened.
I'm back to square one. It's good. It's a comforting place to be at. To have zeros in your account. And have a little extra weight walking around. I know this place. I know the playbook out of it. So we're back to building ourselves back up. No, it was, I don't know how you guys watched the first 4 days. I spent it in a sports book in Columbus, Ohio. It was, it's my favorite 4 days of the sports year, but it takes so much out of me. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, but man, I got home. Or last night, I was like at like 8:30. I was falling asleep on the couch. It's like I need to fix something in my life.
Watching four straight days, and I saw a lot of the stuff that the guys posted on social. Watching four straight days like they did in a book, I would liken it to stepping up on a Saturday night at one of the big casinos in Vegas at a dice table, because chances are, you know, the days of finding $10 dice tables are a thing of the past. And if you don't have a certain appetite for the runs at a dice table, it's intimidating. It can be scary. It can clean you out quick. And the way these guys experience that, I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't have a good Saturday, and I just said, I'm tapping out Sunday. But if I were in the sports book watching with you guys, it'd be hard to do. So that is a very stressful way to do it, because college basketball, it's a tough thing to gamble on for four straight days, man.
It is. And the games just come at you like waves, where it's like, oh, here's another slate. I was saying, the next year, wherever we end up watching the games, I need, when I get back from the airport, I need like a welcome back boys, like a military, you know, like we got dogs and everything and everyone greeting us, because that's how I felt coming home. I was just like, I don't know what I just went through. Bring our boys home. Bring our boys home. Bring our boys home. We got to come home.
You want a welcome back parade.
Yes.
Welcome back, Big Cat.
Yeah, just come back, because the other thing about March Madness, and I love it so much, but when Monday hits and you wake up and you're like, wait, there's not 1,000 games for me to bet on? Like, it's just like this, you get shocked back into reality, because for 4 straight days, you're like, maybe this is my new normal. Maybe I just get to hang out and watch basketball all day. Like, have I reached heaven? It feels like it. So, I'm adjusting to life as a civilian again right now.
Barstool Big Cat joining us on the CarX Tire and Auto guest hotline. What was the biggest moment? Did everything of the weekend center around the Purdue upset? Mm.
Yes, so we actually went to Dayton last Wednesday when I called in. I had the bad phone. Shout out Ohio Highways. I can say that now that Waddle's taking his, like, 17th vacation of the year.
No, he worked earlier. We're just training.
Oh, you guys are doing a wife swap.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I'm nice. On vacation. Get it out now, because I'm on vacation next week. And I
are
know
you
I'm
serious?
Yeah, well, it's spring break. The kids are off. I got to spend some family time. Mm.
Let him give him an iPad and go to work.
Amen.
What did they say? Oh, yeah. So we went to Dayton. We saw Fairleigh Dickinson play on Wednesday night. And I bet on him the Wednesday night. Dave Portnoy, my boss, is sitting next to me. He goes, I think this team could beat Purdue. Mm. He bet them money line against Purdue.
What?
I only had him against Fred. Yeah, he called his shot. And it was the craziest thing I've ever seen, because we were screaming it at the sports book, and it actually was true. It was the first time in basketball history where a team was too short for the other team.
Right.
Fairleigh Dickinson was too short for Purdue. They didn't know how to deal with how short they were. And, yeah, that, like, I'll say this. When March Madness, I love it for so many reasons. But if you ever have the, luck of being able to go to Vegas or a casino or even a packed bar, there's nothing like the March Madness at a packed, like, a bunch of people, and the underdog starts throwing some counter punches, and they stick around, and everyone in the bar, whether they bet on it or not, is rooting for that team. It's something very special in sports that we had on Friday, and it was awesome to watch. And Purdue's a joke. They're a joke of a university. I don't know how they put a bunch of guys on the moon. It makes no sense.
Right.
They've just lost to, like, 13, 15, 16 seed teams. They're a joke of a university at this point.
Well, they're good at putting guys on the moon. They're not good at college basketball. I mean, to lose in back-to-back years to a 15 seed and a 16, I mean, come on.
There's no 17 seed, so that's the only good thing. They hit rock bottom.
They got that going for them, exactly. They actually hit rock bottom.
Greg Braggs called in yesterday and said that they just set the expectations too high for the rest of the country, that they outplayed their expectations.
That's nonsense.
That's part of it. No, there's part of it, because Zach Edey was phenomenal all year, and I don't put any – I don't say – like, people were blaming Zach Edey because, you know, they didn't take a 2-point shot, I think, for the last 10 minutes. But their guards were the problem, and their guards were struggling down the stretch. I watched all the Big Ten basketball. You could see it. I think they finished the season before the Big Ten tournament 5-5. They were having problems down the stretch, and as soon as you started putting pressure, full-court pressure on those guards, they were turning the ball over, and they couldn't step up. Like, that's the other part, where you could tell in a game like that that no one wanted to shoot. Like, those guys had the most open looks possible. The coach for FDU had an incredible game plan, fronting the post, all of that, and no one wanted – they basically said, if you can hit threes, you'll beat us, and no one wanted to shoot open threes.
Is it a continued indictment of the Big Ten, then, that they could exceed expectation the way they did? If that's what the final product is for Purdue, I don't know. I like, they still have to have more 5-star or 3-star or 4-star recruits, whatever it is. They've got to have more talent than Fairleigh Dickinson. I refuse to believe that. I don't watch a ton of college basketball, but come on. Like,
yeah.
It's not that their expectations are raised. What does that say about the Big Ten? I mean, it's ridiculous.
The Big Ten is yet again not having a great tournament, although my Badgers are in the NIT Elite Eight tonight, so that's big. But I really do think it was coaching. I think it was coaching on that game. Like, I think that Matt Painter got simply outcoached, and it's clear. Like, the tournament's not easy, but you see it. There are some guys, like Tom Izzo, who's just, 15th Sweet 16. Some guys are able to game plan these quick game plans where you don't know your opponent a day before, and then now you – and some guys aren't. And it's just – it's a really hard tournament to win, but – there are definitely some coaches that seem to struggle with this quick turnaround or being And then you see the guys who can do it, and they get all the credit in the world.
What about the bite that we heard coming in, where Portnoy told you that he, first of all, he's returning Portnoy's, Aaron Rodgers is returning Portnoy's text messages, but not returning yours, and then saying that he is going to miss the Bears. Dissect both of those things.
Well, I don't think he'll ever return another text message from me. I've made my peace with that. As long as he's out of my life, I'm fine with that. I might preemptively block his number, take the power back. But
tell him to lose his number.
Why wouldn't he miss the Bears? He killed us. This is what I said last week when I was like, he's going to play for 3, 4, 5 more years, and he might like diminish in terms of skill, but he would probably always beat us because that's just what he does. So I'm now. I don't know where you guys are at. I'm now like, this might not get resolved till like May or June. So we just gotta sit back and hope it happens, because I don't think I really don't think there's any way he can go back to Green Bay. But I also think that the Packers are gonna really sit on this and be like, well, you guys have no plan B, so we'll wait.
Hmm. Well, we were talking in the pre-show fist fight. He, like you just said about taking the power back. He needs to take the power back. Like at the first Packer minicamp, if they're not up to trading him yet, he's got to say, I'm under contract, and he needs to start showing up to Packer stuff. And he needs to start showing up to minicamps, and he needs to start whipping the football at Packer players like it's a game of dodgeball. And he starts he needs to cause chaos and holding court in the locker room. And he's like, I'm here. I'm a Packer, and he needs to put his jersey on backwards and just goofing around until they get sick of it all and they just are forced to trade him.
But you know he won't. You know he won't. He's a petty guy. He'll just sit in his darkness retreat and be like, I'm not coming to camp. It's going to get probably ugly again. I hope it happens soon, but doesn't it feel like this is going to be now not like what we all thought? He went on McAfee's show. It's going to get announced like in the next day or two. Now we're a week away. It feels like we might be weeks, months away from this actually being resolved.
Don't you feel like Green Bay just wants to be done with him? I know they don't want to give him away, but wouldn't I
think they want to tweak him.
You think
so? And that's why I think he should tweak that.
It's like, how they're just going to engage in like petty, petulant behavior back and forth?
Yes.
I would think the Packers would just want to wipe their hands of it finally.
Yeah, I mean, he is Brett Favre. He's become the guy. It's basically Cats in the Cradle, the song. He's grown up just like that. Like, if Brett Favre did this to him, he's doing it to Jordan Love. It's no different. But, yeah, I would think the Packers would want to be done with him. But then, unfortunately, it kills me to say it, but the Packers do run a good organization where they probably are sitting there like, we're not going to do this just because he went on a YouTube show and said that he wants out. We're going to get the most value out of it. So that's I think any other team probably would have traded him already. Unfortunately, the Packers actually use their brains, and I hate it, but that's how they operate.
Have you been into the WBC?
I have tuned in a little. I'm going to be all in it tonight. I'm going to pretend that I've been watching all of it. Yeah. Oh, critiquing the lineup. Yes. You know, like, how can you start this guy? Yeah. I don't even know who's on the team. I know it's been a big debate. My only issue is like, if this is important, why aren't our best players playing? Like, why aren't our best pitchers playing? I know we have a pretty good lineup.
Yeah,
we have
a lot of guys getting hurt. I think that's why. Yeah. You're right. The lineup's awesome. It's most of the best offensive players. I think pitchers are always afraid of getting hurt.
Yeah, but that's why it cheapens it a little bit, where it's like, if we're not putting our best pitchers out, can you really say, like, who wins? But I will be in it. I'm hoping Schwarber hits a home run. Like, I'm going to be excited to watch. I just my take on it is I'm a big believer in the sports calendar. It's why I don't like the XFL or the USFL, because, like, once we get done with football season and it's March Madness, it's like, I don't care about this other football. You know what I mean? Like, I want to watch hockey playoffs and basketball playoffs and March Madness. So I feel like if the WBC could figure out a way to maybe do it like an extended All-Star break and they have it in the middle of baseball season, I'd be more into it. But right now it's March Madness. Like, I want to watch basketball.
I'm totally with you on the calendar thing. Like, with football, I just saw a promo. I think it was, I don't know what, I was Bulls game or the WBC, whatever I was watching last night, they showed a few promos for the USFL. And I'm like, get out of here.
With, like, the Fox music.
Yeah, like, drumming up interest for real football. They've got the XFL, the USFL. I'm like, I won't give that 15 seconds.
No. Because I'm a creature of habit. Yeah, you do March Madness, you do Final Four, then you get a full weekend at Augusta, and then you turn around and it's hockey and basketball playoffs, and then it's like, we're ready to go. And then right around like the Kentucky Derby, then baseball, you know what I mean? It's just, it's all cyclical, and I can't get into the other sports when they try to hog a different season.
See, Carm, that's not a calendar thing. That's just a minor league football thing.
What
you
know
what I mean? If they would run the U.S. But if Big Cat, if they would run the USFL or the XFL
simultaneously
in the football season, you wouldn't want that either because you want college football and you want NFL. Like, you would have no interest in that either.
Yeah, but if they ran, like, I've always said, like, if the MAC conference decided to start playing some spring games, I would tune into that. Mm. Why not?
Well, that goes against your calendar argument then.
Yeah, I don't watch spring games.
No, I know. That's just my love for the MAC. But yeah, I don't know if it's because it's not real football. I think it's just the calendar. I'm sticking with the calendar. Now you twisted me around. I don't like what you did to me. I don't like it.
You're spinning on the bat like at the basketball game.
I don't even know where I am right now. I don't know. Let's talk about the Bulls. I watched the Bulls game last night.
Are the Bulls back?
That was an atrocious game to watch. I was hoping we got to the third overtime because there was a chance that the actual over wasn't going to hit in three overtime.
Right.
That's how bad that game was. But, you have to admit that Pat Beverly has turned this team around. Like, defensively, they play a lot tougher. And what are they, 6-2?
Eight and four since that break. But I think you're right. I think it's 6-2 with Bev, isn't it? 8-4 since the break.
I thought it was 8-4 with Pat Bev.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Well, 6-2, 8-4, same thing. But I couldn't believe it. I probably had just buried this in my brain somewhere. But the fact that the Bulls had never beaten Embiid was just so crazy.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but we're back.
So you're rooting for them to get into the postseason and win one game from Milwaukee.
I don't know. I mean, the Pacers kind of just, like, the Pacers, if it had been a fight and the Pacers hadn't fallen off there, I probably would have, like, by the end of the season been like, all right, maybe it's not the worst to just miss the playoffs. I know we'd get in the lottery even if we lost the play-in game, but it's tough because we talk about this. It's a terrible position to be in, and we find ourselves in this position more often than not with Chicago teams where you're rooting for them to win, but then you know big picture – winning is probably not the right thing if they ever want to turn this thing around.
No, because they're not going anywhere the way they are now.
No, they stink. They stink. Someone was like tweeted me last night, they're infuriating to watch. I'm like, yeah, because they have some good players, but as a whole, they are bad. That's what's infuriating about them.
It is surprising. Like some of the guys they have that they're three games below 500. You know, it's like they're life and death to make the play-in tournament.
They shouldn't be that bad.
I know.
But they should be more in the middle, but still in no man's land.
Yeah, you're still in no man's land. I agree.
They still shouldn't be this bad, three under bad.
I wouldn't think that they'd be fighting for the 10 seed with some of the players they have, even without Lonzo. It is surprising.
I know. It's crazy. And I do want Victor Wembanyama. I do think that if the Bulls can get in the lottery, we might get one of those lucky ones where, you know, the Patrick Ewing draft or Derrick Rose draft where they're like, hey, the Bulls should be good again and give us some. That would be nice. I have deluded myself into thinking that. And then we'll get to the lottery night and we'll get like the seventh pick like we always do. And then it goes to the Magic.
Depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, right now, if I would put you would be forced today, this is the other hot Bears topic that everyone's talking about. With all the moves they've made before going into the draft, and they made some pretty good depth moves, they've still not addressed really the defensive line. They still have some offensive line issues. But if I would force you to put a number of wins down, or at least a little bit of a window, what would you put down for the Bears?
Oh, that's a good question. Right now, I think they could win 7 games because who do we play in the AFC? I think we play the AFC South, do we not?
No, the West,
the
I
West.
Think it is.
Yeah, the West.
Oh, never mind. All right, so let's say 6 wins then. Okay,
oh,
6
really?
Wins. Down there. No. Yeah, I mean, we'll play the last place schedule, which always helps.
Right.
But,
the division is not as good either with Rodgers gone. Like I was saying, Big Cat, I say you've got to split. You've got to split and go 3-3 in division with Rodgers gone.
You're gonna sweep Detroit.
Yeah.
No, you want go one and one against every team. Is that
Let's
so hard to do?
Let's cool it on Detroit, by the way. Let's cool it on Detroit. I'm now at the point where I'm sick of it because the Lions fans are now acting like they won the Super Bowl.
I'm not a Goff fan, so you might be.
I am. He's a personal friend. Don't say that. Great guy.
But we should cool it on Detroit.
Great guy. Yeah, great guy, fun guy. But I still don't think I want him to be my quarterback if I've got a team as good as Detroit's team.
Mitch was a nice guy, too.
Goff was good last year. I watched the Game of Thrones finale at his house, so that counts. That's a bonding relationship.
Look at you, yeah. Well, bonding
relationship.
I'm just saying that was a seminal moment in our relationship.
That's amazing.
I actually don't think he watched Game of Thrones. It was like the finale was happening. We're like, hey, can we watch this real quick? He's like, okay. So we just sat there and he just like did something else for an hour. So we're
that's a
really
power move right there.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, seven wins. I'm sticking with seven.
That's where I am. Me too. That's my low watermark.
I think it's a good number.
Win seven for me next year.
I think it's a good number.
Yeah, and maybe if the draft goes well, you know, that can be more like 8 or 9. I mean, it's so crazy to try to predict these things because it's also like you always have a team that gets a couple bounces, and 7 wins can be 9 wins or 7 wins can be 5 wins. So, but I think they are going to be a lot better than the worst team in the league, which they were last year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I'd go 3-3 in the division and win 4 more games.
Yeah, this is how bad all the other teams are that were doing wins for the Bears in March.
Mm.
That's depressing. That's depressing. Carm, who are the Hawks going to take in the pit?
Listen, you want to talk about tanking, they've at least done it the right way. I mean, they've got the third fewest points behind San Jose and Columbus. So at least they're going to put themselves in position for this kid from Canada, Connor Bedard, who's, you know, like, it's hard to project a guy being Crosby or being McDavid. I mean, I don't think anybody's projecting him to necessarily be that. Well, but he made Canada's junior team as like a 17-year-old. Or
he's the best.
It's crazy. He's Gretzky. Yeah. Well, he's Gretzky. No, he's there Gretzky. You go. Yeah, he's Gretzky. Yeah. We'll take
it. It is funny. It's funny you say they did the tank right when, like, they should have been tanking for like 3 years.
I know.
They kind of finally got the tank right.
At least eventually, yeah. At least it led him to this point. I mean, they will be in the mix to win that lottery. Yes, so that's good.
That's great. Let's win both lotteries. Yes. How great would that be?
That would be the lottery capital of the country. Right, wow. You know, teams like Boston, they just win championships. We win lotteries.
Listen, I need to win the real lottery if these dogs want to be saved. So it's going to be hard.
Better buy that Stella Blue, baby. Yeah.
Great stuff. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Barstool Big Cat joining us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. He is brought to you by RJ Curcio and the Curcio Law Offices. If you need a personal injury attorney, this is your guy. Give RJ a call today. 312-321-1111 and also brought to you by Stella Blue Coffee. Get yours at stellabluecoffee.com and a portion of the proceeds goes to Paws Chicago.
It goes to his gambling debts. That's where it goes
and
to.
And then some will go.
Some of it's going to his gambling
debts. There'll be a tiny bit go to Paws Chicago.
I don't see anything on the rundown here, the 321 Waddle and Sylvie rundown. About the Hawks shutout loss at the Avs and the pending return of Gabriel Landeskog.
Oh, you know, no,
for Colorado.
It got cut off. That's at 6:02.
No,
this is the hockey show. No, we break it down.
Talk about
absolutely.
Last night?
Well, I think there's a few would you rather questions about it.
Oh yeah.
There's so many. I have to sift through which one is going to be the one that's the Hawks related. Would you rather?
Last call for would you rather. Send them to Meller right now. It is wide open for you to win that ESPN Chicago prize package. Tag it WS would you rather, your best either or question. Make them funny, make them creative. It could be about sports, it could be about anything. Hashtag it WS would you rather on Twitter. Send them to Jeff_Meller right now. Carmen and I will go through would you rather coming up next.
Spring trading days on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey Keach.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
That's right. Would you rather every Tuesday at around this time, 4:30. You can tweet them to us using the hashtag WSWouldYouRather. Seen this a lot lately, too, on some of the national shows. Get Up has used this a lot lately.
They lifted it?
They've done this a lot.
They give you credit?
They've done it with Damian Woody, where they've done a play on his name with Would You Rather. They've done like a serious question of the day with a Would You Rather question. Everyone likes a good Would You Rather question.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for years.
Long time.
Since we've been in the morning, too, we got to do some station discussion as well before we leave with the 25-year anniversary. Mel, are we giving away any more tickets today? Are we all done giving away tickets?
Done. I think we're done, yeah. I've not been advised that we have.
So if you don't have your tickets now,
That's it. I think you're a SOL.
You're going to have to listen.
You got to listen noon to 6.
Yeah.
This Friday for the 25-year anniversary. It's going to be a great show on the air as well and on Twitch.
Yes, indeed. Looking forward to it.
Carm's in for a waddle today. It's spring trading every Tuesday in the month of March.
I got the Lala lineup for you, too, later.
Oh, good.
Tickets go on sale Thursday. Thursday. Pre-sale.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they released the lineup, so I'll give you some of the big names.
Okay. Is there a great... Just don't tell me who... Is there a big headliner this year? Yes. To be very excited about.
I think so, but people might also say, you're dopey, you don't know music, you don't know where that person is.
Isn't that always, each their own, though.
Well, yeah, to me,
the music snobs who say it that way.
You're dopey. They're maybe too mainstream for everybody. I don't know. To me, there are a couple of big...
That's what a headliner is, too mainstream.
I don't know, Miller. All I know is I can see it now in Twitch and on you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You don't know music.
The Abdallahs of the world.
There are no big names. To me, there's a couple. And if you want me to give them to you after Would You Rather, I will.
Abdallah loves the third row of a third row and below on the Lollapalooza lineup.
Well, first of all, there's 40 of them.
It goes,
yeah.
He doesn't like the bolder names. He likes from the third row on down.
He's ready for Ray Volpe.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like Ray Volpe?
Shortstop for the Yankees, right?
My science teacher was Ray Volpe.
Carm got that.
Very good. Anthony Volpe, right?
All right.
All right, give this
boss
later.
Vet.
I don't know. That's what he's looking forward to. All right, go ahead. Do what you want.
All right, Carm. Ask and thou shall receive.
Thank you.
Would you rather the Hawks draft the next Bobby or the next Cale McCarr? That's courtesy of our friend Claude Beavers.
That's from Claude Beavers.
Yeah, big time would you rather submitter.
I think Cale McCarr is more ready for today's game.
Yeah, but Bobby Orr changed hockey probably more than any single player in history.
Yeah, how many years ago, though?
Do you realize Bobby Orr's still, I think, top? If you found out where he is on the scoring list and you factor in that he was a defenseman and had his career cut short because of injury, it's ridiculous.
You want the next Wilt, or do you want...
I probably say...
Next Wembanyama.
Or the next Tim Duncan.
The next Wilt or the next Tim Duncan? That's a great comparison. I think I'd say the next... Would I be stupid for saying the next Tim Duncan?
Well,
that's why it's a good comparison by you. I think I'd say the next McCarr. I've watched hockey a long time, and I didn't get to see Bobby Orr.
Me too.
I've never seen a player quite like Cale McCarr's combination of as a defenseman. I mean, he's like Paul Coffey and Ray Bourque. I've never really seen anything like
him. Bobby Orr have a cup of coffee with a Hawks?
Yes, yes. Yes. But after the knee injuries.
He was a cup of coffee when Bobby Orr was done.
But it was after the knee injury, and it was he was toast. I don't know. That's a really good one. I'm just saying.
All right, Claude Beavers is in the lead.
That guy, more than anybody, changed the way hockey is played.
That Claude Beavers, one of the most surly guests we've ever had on the show.
He was great. When
couldn't
he was
go back to
you
him.
Guys. He
was just had to pull the plug. All right.
I think the new bosses wouldn't mind. That was the old boss.
John Doe wants to know, with the Italian Stallion riding along, he wants to know, would you rather have to drink bottom shelf bourbon neat with any dinner of your choice, or have top shelf bourbon, but dinner is spaghetti with plain tomato sauce, no salt?
Bottom shelf bourbon. For sure, because believe it or not, I could pick out a few old granddad bottled and bond is bottom shelf bourbon, and it's fantastic.
Okay, so this is basically, do you want a good meal with a bottom shelf meat
drink? Yeah, but I'm telling you, like, I'd get the best of both worlds because there are plenty of good, like, Wild Turkey 101 you could consider is a bottom shelf bourbon that's probably on the bottom shelf. Old Granddad Bonded is on the bottom shelf, and they're fantastic. They're like, they're killer bourbons for $30 that are always available. So that's easy.
That's what I'm going with.
Sylvie, how about if we...
I'm not drinking bourbon.
What if we go wine? What if we go
Silverman? No, look, there are like I'm not a wine expert by any stretch of the imagination. There are many, many, many wine that you can buy for $10-$15 that taste fantastic.
Lots.
Yeah, you don't need to spend exorbitant amount of money to enjoy wine.
That's, no, you're right about that.
Don't let people fool you on that.
This one,
you find a wine that you like.
It's the same with bourbon. You're right about that.
This one's interesting. Mike Harrington wants to know, would you rather just have Justin Fields start and look pretty good this year, but not great?
No.
Or for Carolina to be the worst team in the league and the Bears have the number one pick?
Ooh. Oh.
But
I know I'm trying to.
Yeah, that doesn't like the. There's no Fields option for me in number two, so it's just the second one.
Yeah, but he's saying Fields, but, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Because what's
all he's saying is Fields is okay, or the Bears get the number one overall pick and Carolina sucks.
But by Fields just being okay, have they really solved anything? But I'd still say that
yeah, give us the number one pick.
Yeah, the number one pick, because then you're made in the shade. Then you can fix the quarterback, or you can try again to fix the quarterback problem. So it's got to be that one. It's got to be option B.
Would you gentlemen rather have a sleepover with Yurko after a White Castle Crave case or with Cap, but you have to do a shower interview with him?
Yurko, Crave case.
Well, wait a minute. If I'm having a sleepover with Yurko, does this mean we're like in the same hotel room? Could we do a sleepover, but we're in different bedrooms in his house?
No, I think a sleepover, you have to be in the same bedroom.
That's what dictates a sleepover?
I think so.
Yurko.
Like if you're sleeping over at Yurko's house today.
Yes.
You are not sleeping in the same room.
We really having a sleepover at Yurko's house today?
Yes.
How is that?
Yurko, I'm going to stay over.
I've slept over at Yurko's.
Did you stay in the same room?
No.
See?
We shared a hotel room.
Me and Mellor and Yurko had to share a hotel room once.
And Yurko slept on the floor. Beds.
Yurko was kind enough to sleep on the floor.
How bad of a snorer is he?
A little bit.
He snores.
It's not terrible, but it's not bad. He's a snorer.
Like, really?
He is a snorer.
He's a snorer, but it's not as bad as I've heard. Let's put it that way.
That's an upset to me.
Yeah.
There's no apnea going on there?
No, it wasn't terrible. Like, he snores, but not terribly.
Like, there was no stoppage of breath?
No. Not that I recall. I'm going Yurko on that one. I don't care if it's in the same room or not.
No shower interviews.
No shower interviews.
There's no shower in with anybody.
Mm-mm.
This one's interesting from Brandon Carrick. He wants to know, would you rather the Bears go back in time? The Bears win the coin toss and draft Terry Bradshaw, and you get four Super Bowl rings, but this means no Walter Payton. Or would you rather keep it as is, the Bears still draft Walter, and you still have 85?
Damn, dude. No, I'm sorry. I love sweetness. I'm sorry.
So you're telling me Bradshaw delivers the four?
You're giving me four Super Bowls and a Hall of Fame quarterback. I love Walter. I know, but...
Boy, that's hard,
You're
man.
Telling me one versus four?
No, I know.
He's giving me four Super Bowls.
You
he's
know how
not
much
saying,
better Walter Payton was at his job than Terry Bradshaw was
I know,
at his.
But what he's giving me was... He didn't say you're getting Terry Bradshaw and then you're risking winning.
I know.
He's saying you're getting four Super Bowls. You're getting Bradshaw and four Super Bowls.
It's a punch in the gut.
Is 85, though, the greatest?
I like four better than one.
But you have the greatest. You have arguably the greatest Super Bowl winning team ever.
And you know what it was worth?
It was only one.
It's worth one.
It would be sweet to have four, pun intended, to have four Super Bowls. I'm sorry. We long to be the Steelers. You'd finally be in the conversation. Like, we'd have four of them as Bears fans.
Yeah.
Four.
We would have three Blackhawks in the current era. We would have six Bulls championships in the current era.
Super Bowls.
And we would have four Super Bowls.
instead of one.
I feel like that's a tough one, man. That's a punch in the gut to have to say it, but I think you're right. Because Walter was... Walter's all time. He's so much better than Bradshaw.
Come on, isn't that super fanish to say... Oh, just give me Walter.
But you're talking about a guy that's not. We're not talking about like Dan Hampton, and no disrespect, Hamp. Like Walter is all friggin' time. Like he is.
I understand that.
It's just hard. That one's hard, but I think you got to go with the four Super Bowls. That's a very good one. I like that.
Do we get the immaculate reception too with it?
That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. We didn't really.
Do we get Franco and?
No, you just get four Super Bowl rings.
You don't get Franco.
How memorable are the Steelers Super Bowl championships?
Oh, Lynn Swann.
Because I wasn't alive. So
the Steel Curtain, Mean Joe Green.
Oh, that whole
very, very Cowboy Steelers. It was huge, Meller. Like, I grew up in the 70s. Yeah. And
count the Hall of Fame players.
The kids didn't wear jerseys like they do today. Mm-hmm. But kids in the schoolyard in the 70s, if they had a jersey that wasn't a Bears jersey, mm-hmm. it would be either a Steelers or a Cowboys jersey.
Yeah, for sure. A Bob Lilly or a Mel Blunt or a John Stallworth.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
312-332-3776.
I'm going to tell you. Bobby Orr's points per game in his career. Ready? 1.393. That is fifth all time. Not amongst defensemen. That's fifth.
All time.
All time. Gretzky, Lemieux, Bossy, McDavid. How good is McDavid? Bobby Orr. You know how far down you have to go on the list before you find another defenseman, for crying out loud?
Is it Coffey?
Fifth of all time. I don't even know. I'm trying to go down the list. I'm looking, Mellor.
Where's Doug Wilson?
It's got to be Paul Coffey.
I would assume it's Coffey or Bork. Potentially Ray Bork. But now,
Coffey
probably
had
points
so
per
many
game.
Years.
Yeah, well, and
with Gretzky,
points per game,
and
it's got to be Coffey. But I don't even... it looks like Coffey's probably next. And he's 34th.
Where's Gary Suter?
Gary Suter, stop it. So he's just listening off to Doug Wilson.
Steve
and Gary
Smith
Suter
is next. Steve Smith, come on.
I think if I'm looking at this list right, I think you have to go all the way down to 34, Paul Coffey at 1.087.
When the Hawks got Steve Smith, I was very excited.
Oh, come on.
From the Edmonton days.
We all were, man. He's the final piece.
Number five, right?
Yes. Number five. You got it. Sylvie, good job.
Well, this is the hockey show.
Smith and Chelios on the blue line.
It is the hockey show. It's pretty impressive.
What do you think this is?
An amateur hour? Come on.
Do you have another one, or is that it?
I think
should we end it on that one?
That's a high note. That's a good one. Hey, did you know Mark Recchi is 13th all time in points
in the
NHL?
In points and over just total points?
Total
I could
points.
See that because he played forever. I could see that.
I think Paul Coffey's been named more times in this segment than he has in the history of Waddle and Sylvie.
This is the hockey show, baby. You should be talking about Paul Coffey, number seven.
You want to react 3-1-2.
77 to me.
Well, 77 when he was here, yeah.
312-332-3776. Do you remember all the former greats that like
Coffey's another one.
Yeah, Coffey, Doug Gilmore. Career. They got here late. Didn't they get Doug Gilmore?
They did get Doug Gilmore late. You are the hockey show today. Look at you, dude. They got Gilmore when he was washed up. They got Coffey when he was washed up. They got Bobby Orr when he was washed up. In the old days,
that's what
Ken Griffey Jr. The old man Manny Warren. Ramirez.
Oh yeah, Kenny Williams was running the Hawks back in the day. Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
We actually have a caller who want to talk about Bobby Orr.
See? When you talk about the all-time greats, there you go.
So I take these calls. Then we'll... I have seen two mock drafts today.
Me too.
So
same guy in both going to the Bears.
I did not. I saw.
Then we saw
different
two different
guys,
ones.
Yeah. Okay. So we could compare notes here. We'll get to that. And then Carmen's in for Waddle today. It's spring trading. Waddle was in with Hoodie. They were in for the Carmen and Yurko show. Yurko will be in on Black and Abdallah with Chris Black. That's coming up 6 to 8. Tomorrow will not be back to normal. It's kind of a mixed bag again tomorrow because there's a Sox game on at this time. We were asked with Hoodie on vacation to do Cap and Hoodie. So Waddle and I will be on in the Cap and Hoodie slot 7 to 10. And then Cap is going to do a solo show just before White Sox baseball for us.
Yeah, we'll crosstalk with him, and then he'll do like 35 on his own. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's going to be more switcheroo tomorrow and also on Thursday, then the big anniversary party on Friday. So a little bit of a change up these next couple of days.
That's good. Keep people on their toes.
Mike and Tinley, you're on with Sylvie and Carmen. What's up, Mike?
Hi, guys. I'm being a youngster of 75. I say even Maurice Richard, Gordie Howe. Nobody was as good as Bobby Orr.
There you go.
He made Phil Esposito an awesome because Phil just went right to the net. He didn't even have to bring it up to the ice.
See?
He I did see that. I think he only played three games with the Hawks. I saw the one he played on a Sunday night. I think I ended up in a one. It ended up in a 1-1 tie. The Canadians flew at him. He couldn't even move, but they couldn't get the puck off. He just spun and he unspun. He was just magnificent.
Yep. He said he couldn't get the puck off. Is what he said.
From him. Yes.
In case you heard something else.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. Yes. The puck off. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
He played 26 games for the Hawks over two seasons. No. Yeah. I knew what he said.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
26 games over two seasons after his, I believe it was a knee injury that was especially back then in the 70s. He was never the same.
You know what you turned into, Carm? You picked him a car, right?
I was kind of in between. I don't know. I crossed him up.
He turned into Skip Bayless picking LeBron over MJ. That's what you did.
McCarr's pretty spectacular. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he's a rare combination. But the hockey
version of Skip Bayless.
There's nobody that changed the way hockey's played more than Bobby Orr.
And I could just say that I was BSing myself through the answer.
There you go.
Well, your Duncan Wilt thing was interesting.
I was BSing my way.
You have a career at TSN, Carm. You go to TSN, you start saying...
You can be the Skip Bayless of TSN.
That's Bobby Orr.
I don't think I really answered it,
but I said not Bobby Orr's.
Skip does that sometimes.
Bobby, you get does it's he? Hard to go
I think
Bobby
Skip
Orr.
Is like the anti-Cap, where he digs in no matter what. No matter how
that's
much
true.
He's
you,
proven
you may be
wrong,
right. Yes,
he true. Will never admit an error.
That's true. You're probably Skip? Right about no. that.
Yeah. No. Kevin is in Coal City. What's up, Kev?
Hey, gentlemen, I'm loving the show today. You guys forgot to mention a big name late in his career signing with the Hawks. Not only did they sign him, but they had to get him a babysitter on payroll. Sir. That was Theo Fleury.
I remember that, yeah. And the babysitter did such a good job, they took him to a strip club in Columbus. Remember? True story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember, Kev?
Was he around for the fight hysterical. With Brad Sutter?
Yes. Oh. I don't know about that, but the...
What about the Arneson... Didn't him and Arneson get into it?
I don't remember.
All was I know is there was an incident. From Theo Fleury.
Kevin's right. They brought in Theo Fleury. They hired somebody to be with him. They still ended up getting in trouble in some sort of like bar fight at a strip club in Columbus.
Yeah. I think Theo Fleury was before Arneson. I think Theo Fleury was mid-90s.
Mm.
Google when Theo came to
late,
town.
I would say late 90s, early 2000s, right?
Is that when it was?
He was with the Hawks in 2003.
Oh,
2002,
wow.
2003.
So it was around that time. Yeah. Little guy, too, right?
Very little. Incredible goal
scorer. 5'6", I think.
Yeah. Incredible goal scorer for his size.
Who would have thought all our calls today would be on this?
On hockey.
Jimmy and Steger, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jimmy?
Hi, guys. I was just telling your screener. I'm 58. I just turned 58. Far and away, Bobby Orr was the best player to ever play hockey. 8 Norris trophies. In 1976, they talk about these super teams. Look at Team Canada, 1976 Canada Cup team.
Can imagine.
8 knee surgeries was still the best player in the world. Crazy. Think about that.
Yeah.
If the technology today, if we would have had that for knee surgeries like we have today.
That's a good point.
He might have still been playing, guys, and still dominating. First defensive never score. You know, lead the league in scoring. Oh, by the way, Phil Esposito, I remember 1-2 for a couple of years in a row. And here's one of the best things. That plus-minus statistic, I think it was 70 or 71 or 72, they figured out he would have been plus 110 one year.
124. I mean, plus 124.
It was 124?
Yes.
I knew it was somewhere around there.
Yep.
Just ridiculous. And to say he's not the best player to ever play, and I love Gretzky, Lemieux.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Chicago with Bobby Hall, Sam McGinnis, Dennis Savard, you know, our guys we've had here, Kane, Tays. But Bobby Orr, far and away, it's not even close.
There you go.
And I love all those other guys. But look up the 76 Canada roster, guys. that might be the greatest team. You know, they take these super teams. You know, these dream teams. Look at that team. A fourth line on that team would have been Marcel Dion, Lanny McDonald, and Daryl Sittler. Yeah, think about
good.
It.
That's pretty good. I can imagine Guy Lafleur, Ken Dryden, Bobby Orr.
This is how you talk hockey.
Damn right.
Marcel Dion. Jimmy said that, right? Yeah, I think Marcel Dion would have been in that crew. I mean, think about that.
By the way, I just did a Google search.
This is all because of Would You Rather.
Yeah.
Usually Would You Rather is about peeing in the shower or peeing outside in Waddle's garden.
Mm-mm, not anymore. This is the hockey show. You guys always say it. Brian Trottier was probably on that 76 team, if I had to guess. That team had to be incredible.
By the way, there I do see a tweet that's very interesting. I want to get into some Bears conversation and some new mock drafts that are out there in which way the Bears could go. But could there be already some changes with the new baseball rules?
Hmm.
Jesse was asking us. He's like, hey, no rule questions. There's a tweet out there regarding possible changes already to some baseball rules. I will share that with you coming up next.